We're going to, it might seem kind of quick to you just right after Christmas, but we're going to start a series in the book of Galatians. And this morning, I want to talk about the cross of Christ is the gospel. And in the book of Galatians, Paul's going to be defending this. At the time Paul wrote this epistle, there were Judaizers that went out into the different Gentile churches and said, unless you are circumcised and obey the law of Moses, you can't be saved. Well, if you've read the book of Acts, you know there was a big debate broke out. And Paul and Barnabas went to the elders in Israel, in Jerusalem, and they talked about it. And they wrote a letter to the Gentile churches and said, it has seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit not to put this on you. Peter reminded them, we can't even keep the law. Our fathers didn't keep it. And Paul is going to go through the book of Galatians and talk about why we're not under the law anymore. Now, I know the argument, well, are we still under the moral commandments? We are under the law of Christ as Christians. And God said, I'll write my law in your hearts and your minds. He said, I will be your God, you will be my people, and your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. This is an unconditional covenant. By that I mean, you and I did not do anything deserving of this. God didn't say, it's going to depend on if you can do this, this, and this, I'll be your God. See, that's what the law said. God gave him the law and he said, now I'm giving you life and death and I want you to choose life. And he said, if you'll keep my law, I'll be your God, I'll bless you. But he said, if you break the law, I'll curse you. That's conditional. It depended on them. It was a two-part covenant. It depended on what they could do and what God would do. And understandably, these Jews had been raised under the law all their lives. They were worshiping God. It was God's law. Paul said the law was holy and good. It was just. But nobody could keep it. So today, I want to introduce the theme that Paul defends throughout the book of Galatians. And I want to talk about the cross of Jesus Christ today. Our text will be in Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. For our visitors, we have what I call the word on the wall. I'm preaching from the English Standard Version, and the scriptures will be up here behind me where you can read right along with me. It says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of men, or man, or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I know it returns to you and does exactly what you send it out to do. And it'll accomplish what you send it out to do this morning. I have full confidence in that. Lord, I pray that you will anoint me as I bring this message to your people, that you will give us the assurance in our own hearts through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that this relates to us and we are holy and without fault in your sight because of the cross of Jesus Christ. I pray if there's anyone here today who has never acknowledged that they're a sinner and needing a Savior, that today, Lord, you shall prick their hearts and that they shall come forward and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk today about the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, in verse 4, Paul says, speaking of Jesus, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. That's the gospel. And what I want to share with you today, I am convinced, was the gospel that Paul shared with the Galatians and that the church at that time was preaching. You know, the historian Josephus refers to the church as the way. He said there was a sect of the Nazarenes, those who followed Jesus of Nazarene, called the way. And they infuriated people in their day because they went around insisting there was only one way to get to God, and that was through Jesus Christ. And that offends people. To this day, that will offend people. So I want to talk today about the cross of Christ. Christianity, pardon me, has been referred to as a slaughterhouse religion. And they say that because there's so much emphasis placed on the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, admittedly, I picked the hymns we sung this morning on purpose. I wanted to sing about the blood and the cross. But do you know that there are churches today that are taking those references out of the hymns when they sing them? They don't want to sing about blood or sin because they don't want to offend anybody in the church. The hymn at the cross, they changed that. It used to say, "Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" And in the newer hymns, it's for sinners such as I. They said to refer to people as worms is offensive. And, you know, we're all about not hurting people's feelings. Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but on purpose. But I'm going to tell you this morning, church, the cross of Jesus Christ is an offense to people. It to them, it insults their intelligence. They think that those who believe in that are superstitious, or there are those who would add to the cross of Jesus Christ. And in essence, they're saying the blood he shed isn't enough. You have to join our organization. You have to agree to these set of rules. You have to live like this a certain way. You've got to have a certain diet. You've got to dress a certain way. You can't watch TV. You can't go to dances. You shouldn't be in movies. I'm not advocating that Christians just go all out and do things like that. But I'm saying that won't get you to heaven. Religion is dangerous. It's deceptive. Because in religion, you think you have your right with God because of your religion, and your religion offends God. In the book of Isaiah, he said to Israel, "Who has asked you for these blood sacrifices and this fat? I'm sick of them." And they said, "Well, you did." God said, "This isn't the kind of fast I've asked of you." He said, "You bow your head like a bulrush for one day, but you still beat each other with a fist of wickedness." You see, you're going through the religion, but God said there's no heart change. And at one time in Isaiah, he said to his people, "Circumcise your hearts. You're doing the circumcision like I commanded, but it's not affecting you. My covenant is not affecting you." And the first covenant, the law of the covenant is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That's something that we're so selfish, God has to command us to love Him first. Because we love self supremely. Many people find the cross of Jesus Christ offensive. Some preachers are told to tone it down. You know, don't talk about sin. It aggravates people. I've had people here say they quit coming because all I want to talk about was drugs and sex and how it was wrong. Well, when you hit on people's favorite pastimes, it kind of hurts a little bit. The Bible speaks against these things, and they have no place in the church. I'm talking about fornication, drug use, drunkenness, you name it. Idolatry, covetousness. The Bible says that doesn't belong in the life of a Christian. But this morning I want to talk about how you become a Christian. What has God done so you and I could become Christians? The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You see, those who are lost, the Bible says, I didn't say that, the Bible says it is those who are lost who deny the cross of Jesus Christ. And there's some very religious people today deny the cross of Jesus Christ. They deny the resurrection. They deny that He's the Son of God. They deny that He's God in the flesh. I remember one man who used to come here, cornered me one day and said, "You'll never convince me that Jesus is God in the flesh." I said, "I know. Sadly, that's the Holy Spirit's job. And evidently, you're not willing to listen to Him." I don't say that in arrogance. The cross of Jesus Christ offends people. First, that you're telling them they're a sinner and they need a Savior. Just give me a set of rules, is what the line says. Just tell me what I can and can't do. I remember one lady used to tell me, "I want to know just enough to get into heaven." She said, don't give me all the details. Don't confuse me with all the facts. Just give me enough, preacher, that I can go to heaven. Preacher can't get you to heaven. Preacher will get into heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because he's a preacher, not because he gets up here on Sunday and talks to you, not because he does good works. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I will enter the kingdom of heaven, same as every man, woman, and child in this building. Paul said that God has declared that there's only one way to come to Him, and that is through Jesus Christ and through the cross. He said, "Since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." Now, God's something else. You know, He shared His wisdom with man. Man said, "Bah." And God said, "All right. I'm going to save those who believe in a way that's going to seem foolish to you. But the ones that receive it are actually the wise ones." It said God was pleased through the folly of what was preached, the gospel of the cross, to save those who believe. He said, "The Jews demand signs and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." Have you ever talked to anybody today or heard anybody today talk about the foolishness of the cross? The foolishness of your faith? The Jews thought it was foolish one day. Jesus was teaching them and He said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you'll know I'm the one I claim to be." And they said, "Whoa, time out. We read in the law that the Christ lives forever. How can you say you'll be lifted up?" See, He was talking about lifted up on the cross. And the Jews say, "No, if you're the Christ, you can't die." So when they nailed the Christ to the cross, many of the Jews of that day said, "Well, that's not Him. Our Christ, our Messiah, can't die in weakness. He can't die the death of a criminal." So Paul said it was a stumbling block. "I thought He was the Christ. He did a lot of miracles. He said a lot of good things. But He's dead. I saw them nail Him to that tree, and He died the death of a criminal. That can't be the Christ. That can't be our Messiah." And to the Greeks it was foolish, especially the part about Him raising from the dead. When Paul preached on Mars Hills, it said they listened to Paul till the point when he talked about the resurrection of the dead, and they laughed at him. It said many of them mocked him. Some of them said, "We'll hear you again later." And it only records like three men that came to Paul and said, "We believe what you said." And Paul encouraged those men, then he left. They didn't get another audience with him. Paul didn't hang around and try to preach revival. When he told them about the cross of Jesus Christ, they laughed. When the Jews in some of the town Paul went to began to blaspheme when he preached the cross, he said, Paul shook his clothes at him and said, "I'm free from your blood. Since you deem yourselves unworthy of eternal life," he said, "I'm going to go preach to the Gentiles." And it said the Gentiles received it gladly. Wow. Give us this. give us this Jesus that's not asking works. You know, we've been living with these Jews all these years and none of them keep that law they keep spouting off. And you're telling me that they're not reconciled to God through practicing the law? And Paul said, no, they're not. It's only through the cross of Jesus Christ that you can be reconciled to God, brought back into a fellowship with Him. And you know, a lot of people today are looking for God and they're looking in all the wrong places. They're looking for Him in works. Well, if I'm good enough. I've had people tell me that. Well, brother, you know, I believe when I stand before God, He'll weigh my good works against my bad, and if my good outweigh my bad, then I'm going to go to heaven. Well, you're in a lot of trouble. See, you're agreeing to be judged by the law that way. And the Bible says you're cursed if you break one part of the law. So if you don't commit adultery, but you murder, you're a lawbreaker. Well, I've never killed anybody. Have you ever lied? Well, yeah, who doesn't? Well, you're a liar. See, that's how God will judge you under the law. I only lied one time. God said that's one time too many. If you want to be judged by the law, that's one time too many. You broke it. And the law couldn't save you. Read the law. Study it. There was nothing in there about salvation. Just offer animal blood and roll your sins ahead for another year. The Bible says the blood of bulls and goats could not cleanse us from sin. So Jesus Christ came and offered Himself one time. Amen. He didn't have to do it again and again and again. He did it one time. He offered that holy blood. The sinless man became sin on the cross, and He bore your sin and mine. As I testified to you in the song service, I remember the day that got a hold of me. Because I thought I was a pretty good guy. When I was a kid, I grew up in the Christian church. I thought I was a pretty good kid. I wasn't doing what the other kids did. I didn't smoke, drink, and chew and run around with those that do. You know, I thought God was pretty lucky to have a kid like me on His side. I went to school, took my Bible school, and told all them Baptists they were going to hell because they hadn't been baptized for the right reason. That's all I knew to preach. I didn't make a lot of friends and win influences that way either. The demons hate the cross. It offends them because that's where they suffered defeat. And their fate was sealed forever. In the movie, The Passion by Mel Gibson, I love that part when Jesus says it's finished and He bows His head and it shows Satan screaming. I think that's very realistic because Satan knew God had won. The devil was defeated at the cross. The Bible says he knows he's defeated. Revelation says he knows he just has a little time left. And he's running around in great fury and wrath trying to get at people because God loves people. He created us. God loves us. We're made in His image. And Satan can't get to God. God defeated him on the cross, so he's got to get to those made in His image. And you know one of the most powerful weapons he has? False religion. See, Satan knows that there's within every person a desire to worship. That's that image we're made in. Karl Barth, the theologian, said it's like a puzzle. There's a piece missing and only Jesus Christ will fit it. You can't put alcohol in there, sex, pornography, drugs, whatever it is you try to fill that hole with. Let me tell you from experience, it won't fill it. You won't be happy. You won't be content. And on the other flip side, you can sit here and say, well, I never smoked a cigarette, never done any drugs. I'm a good person. Have you ever come to the cross? Well, no. You're lost. You're not a good person. You're God's enemy. The Bible says He disarmed them. And you know one way that Paul said it, they were disarmed? Because God canceled the law. The power of sin is death, and all the law did was condemn you to death. And it said God took the law and nailed it to the cross. And that disarmed the enemy. He doesn't have anything else. I love it in Revelation where Jesus is talking to John. He goes, I hold the keys of hell and death. Satan used to hold them. And when he came out of the grave, Jesus walked up and said, give me them keys, turkey. I've won, and those keys are mine now. He holds the power of life and death. and it was through our fear of death that we were in bondage. And the Bible says that the power of sin was the law, and God took the law and He nailed it to the cross in the person of Jesus Christ. And it took the enemy's ammunition away. Now, He can tempt you. He can try to make things miserable for you. But He can't take your salvation away unless you want to give it. He can't take your joy unless you give it to Him. He can't make you do anything. How many remember old Flip Wilson, that saying he made popular? The devil made me do it. They used to have T-shirts and bumper stickers. The devil made me do it. Pretty handy to blame the devil. In fact, a lot of Christians still do today. They want to blame that old devil. Well, I can't get the victory over this habit or this sin. That old devil, woo, man. That devil can't have anything you don't give him, Christian, if you're a Christian. He cannot have any victory over you that you don't allow him to have. He's defeated. Now, I'm not saying he's not powerful. But let me clue you in on something. If he could kill you, he'd already done it. That's how much he hates. It's by the grace of God that each and every one of you is sitting here this morning. Amen. By the grace of God. And you won't come to him except through the cross of Jesus Christ. In Christ, in the cross, we have forgiveness of sins. There's no other way to be forgiven except through the cross of Christ. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ. And that whole scripture I read to you, there wasn't anything in there about you were good enough for it. You earned it. The Bible says, while we were His enemies, Christ died for us. And I believe that in the throne room of heaven, Jesus Christ walked in, our high priest, and when He offered His blood, God said, that's it. There's no more sacrifice for sin. You cannot come to me through good works, through prayers, through religion. You cannot come to me by observing the law. Following the Quran will not get you into heaven. You cannot be good enough to get into the kingdom of heaven. You must come through the blood of Jesus Christ. You must have that blood applied to your sins and to your life, or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't care how religious you are. He's delivered us from the dominion of darkness, and He's transferred us to the kingdom of His Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Greek, from what I understand, the concordances I've read, it's like it says God has pulled us up by the roots, the Christian, out of the dominion of darkness, out of Satan's dominion, and He transplants us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. God does that. When I came to Him, and I admitted to Him, I am lost. I need a Savior. I had no illusions about who I was. And I've often said this, to me it was like the Holy Spirit pulled this curtain back and I saw me as God saw me, and I didn't like what I saw. And I fell to my knees there in that living room and I cried out, said, God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And He didn't say, nah, you're too nasty. You done too many drugs. You had too much fun in the 70s, Rick. I can't save you. You've done so many disgusting, sinful things. Why, if people knew you, knew the real you, they wouldn't want nothing to do with you. And you dare come to me, a holy God? Well, I'm so thankful He didn't do that to me. He said, I know you're a sinner. And He didn't say, if you'll quit smoking and drinking beer and smoking weed and drinking whiskey and doing speed and all this other stuff, then I'll save you. And yet I talk to people that tell me they're not Christians, and they're saying, well, I'm waiting to get my life straightened up so I can get in church. What are you waiting for? You'll never get your life straightened up. Is that because I'm a pessimist? No, because I'm a realist. You can't do it. You can never be good enough. How long, Christian, are you going to keep resolving to get victory over sin in your own power instead of going to the cross? One of the best advice I ever got was in a bar in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. backslid Christian sitting there drinking shots and beer, and a guy comes up and he starts talking about his faith in Christ. I said, well, I used to have that. And I'll never forget, he said, you just need to go back to the cross, brother. And he was right. That's where you get victory over sin, is at the cross. That's where you'll get victory with your habits, at the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where you get victory in this life, through the cross of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, by which I've been crucified to the world, and it's been crucified to me. The world is dead to me. It's lost its power and influence over me. Can you say that this morning? Not if you're trying to do it in your own power. I've been there, people. Oh, God, get me out of this, and I'll never drink another drop. Boy, when I get out of jail this time, I'm going to straighten up. When I get out of the hospital this time, I know you've given me a second chance, and I'm going to line out. I didn't line out. It wasn't until I came to the cross of Jesus Christ that I got victory over that life. It wasn't until I realized I needed a Savior and I wanted a Savior. Do you want to be right with God? I think most of us deep down do. You know, well, yeah, I want to be right with God. I don't want to be at odds against Him. Then you have to come to the cross. You have to come to Him through the blood that Jesus Christ shed. You have to understand that that's the only remedy for your sin, as we sang this morning. There's power in the blood. The cross of Christ is what reconciles us to God and gives us peace with God. Now remember, I told you, this is the gospel Paul preached to the Galatians. I'm setting the stage for what we're going to be going over the next few weeks. This is why Paul is so frustrated in this epistle. And sometimes he's kind of harsh. It's the cross of Christ that makes us holy and blameless. We are never to put our trust in anything or anyone else. Sometimes we start out with Christ as Christians and then we veer off in another direction. The Bible calls that apostasy. It means to deviate. The Greek implies that you're going in this direction and you veer off. Something over here gets your attention. You say, hey, that looks pretty good. And you start heading that way and you leave the straight and narrow. Then Jesus said you're on the broad and wide that leads to destruction. He said a lot of people find that. But very few people find the straight and narrow road. It's only through Christ. Paul said that through Christ we are holy and blameless if we remain in the faith. That's that big little word we don't like. If. Now I thought you said salvation is unconditional. It is. The sanctification has a lot to do with you too. God will forgive you for your sins when you receive what Jesus Christ has done for you. And then the life of the Christian is daily a sanctification. Daily me dedicating my life to God. Sanctified. I'm sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. That means I'm set apart for a holy purpose. Well, God's smart enough. He doesn't leave it up to me what's holy. Get what I'm saying? God doesn't leave it up to me and say, now, Rick, I want you to be holy. And it's just your definition of holy. Boy, we'd be in a lot of trouble. I wouldn't be up here preaching. My definition of holy? Be that I don't steal from anybody, I don't hurt anybody, I don't lie, I don't fool around with anybody's wives, so that's holy to me. God didn't leave it like that. He said, read my word, pray, seek my face with all your heart, and you're going to find me. And then I'll tell you what holy is. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them with the truth. Your word is truth. Set them apart by your word. Christian, we need to be in the word. We need to be people of the word. After we come to the cross of Christ, we should be people of that book. That's what John Wesley said. Give me that book. That needs to be the heart cry of every Christian in America today. Give me that book. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want peace with Him? You can't make peace with him on your own. You can't earn that peace. You cannot earn that reconciliation. Jesus Christ did. And Paul says it's through him that we have peace with God. Do you have peace with God this morning? Can you sit here and say, yeah, me and God's okay? You might think you're okay, but let me ask you this. Have you ever come to him through Jesus Christ? If your answer is no, you're not okay. Remember, your heart can be deceitful. Don't go on your feelings. Well, I don't feel like me and God's at odds. Well, don't go on that. I heard Dr. Norman Geiser one time give a very wise defense to a Muslim man. He said, you Christians claim Jesus is the Son of God, and we claim Allah cannot have a son because he's one. You Christians claim that Jesus is God, and we Muslims say Jesus can't be God. And Dr. Geiser broke in and said, young man, you know what? It really doesn't matter who you or I say Jesus is. Who does he say he is? He said, go to the Word and see who he says he is. He said, oh, you Christians have contaminated the Word. Well, then go to hell. I mean, that's the only option you got. He didn't say go to hell. But I mean, that's what I thought. Well, buddy, if you're not going to accept that, that's the only other choice you have. See, we're all eternal. We have eternal spirits made in the image of God, and we will live for eternity. We'll either live with him or separated from him. And you know, if you live separated from him, that's your fault, because he's done everything he can to keep you out of that place. In Matthew, when Jesus talks about condemning people to the lake of fire, he says, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. People say, why? Why did God create hell? Martin Luther said, for the curious. God created hell for those that ask those kind of questions. No. The Bible says he created hell for the devil and his angels. It's a prison where these spirits are going to spend eternity, where they can't be up here bothering us. But the sad thing is, if you reject Jesus Christ, by default, you chose him as your God, so you get to spend eternity with your God. And if you do that, it's your fault, because God's done everything he can to keep you out of there. He took his pure, sinless Son and allowed them to nail him to a cross, and he poured his life's blood out on the ground because of your sin. And if you will accept that, and if you will acknowledge to God that you're a sinner, then God will take you and put you under that blood, and you will be pure and holy in his sight. You'll be reconciled. The Bible says you'll be justified. Justified means put in a correct relationship with one. It's a legal term. It's a term that you're brought up on these charges, and the judge acquits you and says you're not guilty. And you leave that courtroom with no record. That's justified. The Bible says we're justified through Jesus Christ. It's through the cross of Christ that we become alive to God. The Bible says that the fleshly man cannot receive the things from God because they're foolishness to him. We're dead to him. Before you come to Christ, you are dead to God. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, but it means you can't receive from him. You're dead, spiritually dead. You ever been around somebody and you feel like I just well talked to a tree? Some of my kids were like that as teenagers. I'd get more out of going out there and talking to a tree than trying to talk to that kid. Well, that's how we are with God. God says, I'm trying to talk to you, and I could just go out there and talk to a rock. Probably get a little better attention after that. Maybe a little more response. You're dead. But the good news is you can be alive to God through Jesus Christ. I didn't know what life was about till I came to Christ. I thought I had things figured out till I came to Christ. I thought I knew what love was till I came to Christ. I thought I knew what it meant to be a man until I came to Jesus Christ. You were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with him, with Jesus, having forgiven all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. God did. I love that. God did it. God said, there's a problem here. This is my law. It's holy. It's just. It's good. But they can't keep it, and all it does is condemn them. But God's God, and he said, I'm not going to nullify this law. Until Jesus Christ came forth and said, here I am. In the volume of the book has been written about me. I've come to do your will. So God took all the penalty of the law and put it on his Son who never sinned. And literally, in the body of Christ, it says that he nailed the law to the cross. And God said, well, that's out of the way. Now I can forgive him through the blood. There's no law to condemn you. Now, don't get antinomian on me, because I had a Christian tell me one time, well, if that's true, then it doesn't matter if I get drunk and commit adultery and do all that other stuff, because we're not under the Ten Commandments. I said, don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap death. The Holy Spirit will tell you what sin is and what it is not. You don't need somebody's carving it in stone. God puts it in your heart through the person of the Holy Spirit. It's all God. That's what I'm trying to get across this morning. It's all God. You can't do anything good enough. All you can do is come to him and say, I'm lost. God, I want peace with you. I want a relationship with you. I want to change, but you can't do it until you acknowledge that to him and you lay it at his feet and say, here. Here's all my trash. Here's all the garbage. Here's all my sin. Take it. I don't want it anymore. Then he can work with you. And he'll wash you in the blood. And he says, now you're my child. He'll put his Spirit in you, the Spirit that enables you to say, Father. And you can call on him. And God says, I'm right here. Problem with a lot of us Christians is we don't call on him except as a last resort. When we try everything in our power to get victory over something. And then we say, well, we better pray. Nothing's worked. We better pray. We need to learn to pray first. I'm telling you that from experience. Hit your knees, Christian. When sin's getting the victory over you, when you feel like the enemy's using you for a floor mat, hit your knees and pray the Word. I'm going to tell you something. It'll build you up. The Bible says whoever denies the gospel of the cross does not have God. They are guilty of the sin of Cain. Remember Cain and Abel? Said Abel brought blood and offered it. Cain brought vegetables and God rejected Cain's offering. It wasn't because God didn't like vegetables, but because it takes the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. And Cain came to God presumptuously and said, hey, I grew these vegetables. This is good enough. We do that with God. Well, this is good enough. I'll go to church. That ought to be good enough. I put money in that little silver box back there once in a while. I try not to drink too much beer or cuss too much or, you know, whatever it is our minds have deceived us into thinking will make us right with God. And if I do this, then I'll enter heaven. No, you won't. In fact, the Bible says when you reject the gospel of the cross, you're calling God a liar. I've known some men in my life, the quickest way for you to get punched in the nose was call them a liar. Question their integrity. You'll be getting up off the floor. How do you think a holy God feels about calling him a liar? How do you think a holy God feels when you say, I don't need the blood of that cross. I'm going to come to you on my own merits and my terms, and you'll take it or leave it. And God says, I'll leave it. And I'll leave you. Why is he so insistent on this? Because of his love. Because there's truly no other way you can come to God except through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get victory over sin in your life, Christian, except through Jesus Christ. He didn't tell you to call on him one time. And then Jesus doesn't say, okay, now you just do the best you can, kid. Pat you on the bottom, you know, like we do our kids. Okay, yeah, just go have fun. Get out of my hair. Jesus says you got to call on me every day. You got to pick your cross up every day. That means I got to die to myself every day. I have to make a conscious decision every day. Who's Lord in my life? Who's going to sit in the throne of my heart? Me for Jesus. Every morning I have to relinquish the throne of my heart to Jesus Christ. Invite Him, Lord, You be King of my heart. I don't want You to just to be my Savior. I want You to be my Lord, my Master. You know, the apostles referred to themselves as slaves of Jesus Christ. That's another word today that is not popular. Don't talk about slavery. Well, all the apostles introduced themselves as doulos. When the Caesars became deified in their minds and they wanted people to confess them as Lord, what they wanted the Romans and the Greeks and the Jews and everybody under their power to say is, I am a slave to Caesar. And the Christians said, I can't do that. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. And they died. The freedom that Jesus Christ is calling you to is to slavery. I'm just as honest as I can be, is to be slaves of His. And I lived out on my own for a long time. That was dangerous. I am a slave of Jesus Christ, and I enjoy it. He's my Master. He's my Lord. I've been washed in His blood. When God looks at me, He sees a saint. I'm Saint Richard. If you want to use my common name, Saint Richard. Richard used to be my whipping name. But now I'm Saint Richard. I can see some of you going, you're a saint. I'm a saint. You're a saint. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You're saints. I don't need some church nominating feast for sainthood. God says He's already a saint. Why are you wasting your time with that? Yeah, I'm a saint. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I call Him Master. He calls me brother. Yeah, Jesus calls me His brother. He said, whoever does the will of my Father is my mother, my sister, and my brother. I'm His brother. I call Him Master, Lord, because He's my Lord. But He calls me brother. God calls me son. Are you a child of God this morning? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not. Do you have the Holy Spirit? I'll ask you that like Paul did. Have you received the Spirit since you believed? You can't call Jesus Christ Lord unless you have the Spirit. You can't call God Father unless you have the Holy Spirit. You can't receive the Holy Spirit unless you come through the cross of Jesus Christ. There's only one way to get to God, and that's through Jesus. Now, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, but I also know there's some people here who need to hear this. This isn't to condemn you. This is a warning. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you into thinking that you're a Christian if you're not. Christian is such a generic term today. There are cults that call themselves Christian. Christian means like Christ. And God doesn't even acknowledge that they're His children. Would you stand with me this morning? There was such a great and terrible price paid for our salvation. And the simplicity of the gospel is awesome to me. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not have to perish, but will have eternal life. If you have not made that choice, I'm going to ask you to come up here and sit on the front row, not so we can put it in some book and say, ooh-wee, wasn't that a good sermon, because I want to talk to you. If you don't want to come up front and you're intimidated by that, talk to me back here. Don't leave here until we get this matter settled. Jesus compared Himself to a shepherd who goes out looking for his sheep. He said He'll leave the 99 righteous and He'll go out and look for that one that's away from Him. And He said, when I find Him, I'll rejoice more over Him than those 99. Why don't you make the Lord happy this morning and come as we sing our song of invitation.
Jesus is tenderly calling you home, calling today. high from the sunshine of love will you roam, farther and farther away, calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, he's tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him your burden and you shall be blessed. He will not turn you away. Oh.